Here we are then, not long now until two big festivals beginning with G join us, 2 days away, or just a day away from Galway, but only a couple of days from Goodwood. Two great festivals to look forward to, one in England, one in Ireland, and that's why we've brought on a stellar panel, not just from England, but from Ireland as well. We've got Johnny Pearson, David Jennings is here, and Ed Nicholson. Welcome along to this Racing Postcard special with a top five bets for the Goodwood and Galway festivals. We'll start off with David Jennings. Great to have you on board, DJ, for a postcard. I can't remember the last time we had you on one of these shows, but you're going to be at Galway for us next week for the Racing Post. See all the coverage on the Racing Post website and app. Looking forward to it?
I am. Yeah. It's one of those kind of, I suppose, enjoyable weeks of the year. It's not as intense as your Cheltenham or your Aintree or your Ascot, and the racing obviously isn't maybe quite as good, but it's a party kind of atmosphere. So yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, it's a shame we never get to see you at Goodwood. I'd love to have you over at Goodwood for 1 year, but Galway just scuppers those plans. Johnny Pearson, you're joining us. You're going to have a few selections with Galway being one of our Irish handicappers, but we've had you on the Goodwood show already, but looking forward to... Well, 7 days is going to be straight of Galway, but Goodwood's just in the mix as well.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of good racing to look forward to. Galway, you've got a mix of everything, something for everyone to look forward to. And Goodwood, you've got the races everyone knows about. You've got Boeck and Gustard meeting again. They're both bound to be great meetings to watch, and there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, some great battles in those Group 1s at Goodwood, aren't there, across the week. And Ed Nicholson from Unibet, welcome along. And you're off the back of an amazing nap winning with amazing journey at the weekend on Saturday. Plenty of offers from Unibet across the week, not just at Goodwood, but at Galway as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we get right behind the two G festivals. Fantastic week of sport. It is just a pity they're both on the same week. I've been to both festivals and they're very different from each other, but they are... both amazing experiences. I know one or two people that are doing both. They're going for some days of Galway and some days of Goodwood, which is not a bad week of sport, is it? Maybe I should do that another week. But yeah, I'll be at a Goodwood for a couple of days, I think, now. But yeah, it's a fantastic meeting. But there's always a lot of hard luck stories at Goodwood. Well, hopefully I'm not going to be part of those narratives, and the tips that we give up don't get any bad traffic problems on that particular race. But yeah, it'd be good to hear what the chaps think, and looking forward to going through to the top fives.
Yeah, let's hope that we have plenty of winners on this show. And remember to check out the Unibet website and app for all of the offers. So those for the viewers and listeners, just to let you know how this show works, we count down from 5 to 1 with our best bets for the Goodwood and Galway festival. So we're going to start off at number 5, and I'm going to give David Jennings the honour of giving us his 5th best bet of the week.
Oh, privileged to go first. I'm going to start off with probably the hardest race of the week, the Guinness Galway Hurdle on Thursday, the highlight of Ladies' Day. And it is Put Your Hands Together for Joseph O'Brien. It's one of these races this year where the race revolves around El Kairos, who obviously was the sexy horse who was bought out of the David Maxwell dispersal sale, and big things were expected, was a supreme novice hurdle antipost favourite at one stage. But I just thought at Punchestown, the race was thrown at him and he still couldn't win it. So I can't trust El Kairos, and you have to take him on. And the one who looks to have been targeted at the race, Put Your Hands Together, he went off 92 favours for the Chester Cup despite being drawn really wide. And he was a little bit disappointing at Royal Ascot. But you go back, he's a Fred Winter winner off a mark of 130. He was sent off favour for this race, 4-1 favour for this race last year off a mark of 141. He's a pound lower now. Joseph O'Brien, I did the big read of him a couple of weeks ago. He explained how his system works, and that there's a target for absolutely every horse, no matter who they are. If they're rated 45, that horse will have a target, potentially at Tremor somewhere. If they're rated 80, they'll have a target. And a horse like Put Your Hands Together, who's not a grade one hurdler, he's a real decent handicapper. He will have one shot at one big handicap this season. And I think this is it. And I think he can win the Galway Hurdle off a mark of 140. So Put Your Hands Together in the Galway Hurdle on Thursday is my number 5.
Yeah, I'd imagine there might be extra place with Unibet on that race, especially the plate as well. But the hurdle for DJ, Put Your Hands Together 6-1 with Unibet currently. Johnny Pearson, your number 5, please.
Yeah, we are going to be going to Galway as well. And this is a race on Thursday. It's the 3:55. It's a novice hurdle. And Henry de Bromhead has a horse in here called Midnight Jet, who's won his last 2 races, but also he can't dance with Gordon Elliott. won that race nice. And then last time at Killarney, he beat Columbus and Mr. Hollywood, who Willie Mullins both then sent to Ascot for flat stone races. Looks a really strong piece of form. There's way more to come from the horse still. He's not done a huge amount wrong. When he's beaten in December and he came fifth, that was a very strong race. The form's working out well. But you don't know what's going to turn up, how many Willie Mullins is going to send here. But on all the form in the race, he's got much the best chance, and hopefully he's a fair price to get us off to a winning start.
Okay, Midnight Jet in the 3:55 of Galway on Thursday for Johnny Pearson. I'm going to take a chance on one here, my number five, and it's in the King George Qatar Stakes, 3:35 on Friday at Goodwood. And I actually think Asfura is going to run an absolute blinder. I really do. You go back to her last start, she anticipated the start, and I never thought she was ever in that race at all. And I know, speaking to Henry Dwyer, that they were actually really keen on her that day. I think she's definitely in some form. Her run in the King Charles, I mean, people say she's done with. Her run in the King Charles wasn't actually that bad at all. She ran into seventh, but she ran a mighty race, and she loves Goodwood. She ran in this last year. The rain did come a couple of days before, and it kind of scuppered her chance a bit. But the year before that, she ran an absolute blinder in this race, and I think she's going to run a great race again. We're in for a good week, I think, in terms of weather, so the ground's going to come up quick. I think this time of the year is where she comes into her own. The downhill track just suits her. She's a bit of a speed ball. She breaks well in what's an open looking, well, we always say it, but an open looking sprint division. I think she'll run the race of her life. And if she does run a big race, they haven't actually ruled out going to the Nunthorpe again, which they obviously won last year. So I'll take Asplura, a double figure price at 11-1 as my number five. Ed Nixon, your number five, please.
Yeah, it's a horse I've tipped up in the postcards before. Be a big price. Tuesday, 4:10, 5 furlong handicap. Glamorous Breeze. Be around about 33-1, 28-1. I like this horse a lot. 8-year-old mare. You wouldn't really expect someone to be tipping an 8-year-old mare in a handicap, but she does exceptionally well in these races. Goodwood, good record. Had four runs there, one once, second once, third twice. One of those thirds was the first time this season when she led until just outside the final furlong. And she's a horse that we know very well. She has an amazing cruising speed and then has to be kind of asked only in the last 50 because she doesn't find that much off the bridle. And Gina Mangan gets on really well with Glamorous Breeze. She's ridden this mare 20 times. And she's only been unplaced on five occasions, winning on five occasions as well. And she knows the horse really well. Expect this horse to give you a really good run for your money because it will be up there and it will be just about in the lead, I think, with a furlong to go. Every race this year, it's been in the lead with a furlong to go. And last time at Ascot, eventually came fifth, but looked the winner all the way around, I thought. Only inside the final furlong when she came under pressure did she lose a couple of places and she came fifth. So she will give you a good run for your money at big odds. I spoke to Chris Mason, the trainer, recently, and about a week and a half ago said this was the target. They love Goodwood. The horse loves Goodwood. And the stable are in great form. The full brother to Glamorous Breeze, Always Glamorous, won on Saturday the final race of the day, the Whispering Angel handicap at Ascot. For the stable, demonstrating they're in good form. Last seven runners from Chris Mason's stable, two of them have won. They're targeting this race. The jockey gets on well with the horse. The horse will give you a good run for your money. And the icing on the cake, very big price, 33-28. So I'm taking a chance to get off with a flyer with a good price horse on the opening day.
Okay, 25-1 then, Glamorous Breeze, Tuesday, 4:10 for Ed. It is number five. On to number four then. I'm going to throw straight back to Johnny Pearson here because he's going to be taking me on the King George Qatar Stakes.
Yeah, I don't give Asfura any chance whatsoever. I do not think she's the horse she once was. I don't think she's good enough to win this. But you say she ran all right, Ascot. She was drawn in the best draw you could possibly have on that day and could still only come seventh. Like, she didn't run particularly well at Sandown last time. She didn't run well at Haydock before that. Didn't run well at Newmarket before that. Look, she's a nice mare. She's been great for a year. She's not the mare she was. She's not going to win. And Knight Raider will. He came, what was it, fourth in this race last year, I think? It was around there. Was best in his group. He was best on the far side of those at Ascot when he ran there by Mission Central last time. He's probably the best horse in the race. It's not the strongest of sprinting divisions we've ever had. And provided he actually as things go his way, unlike he did at Ascot where he was on the wrong side of the track, he was 2 from 2 going into that for the season. Didn't run badly. And he'll go and win this.
Okay, not rated 3-1 then. I mean, I suppose I'll throw my Astura ticket in the bin, Johnny, listening to you there. That's absolutely fine. David Jennings, I'm not going to let Johnny put me off. Don't be worried. But I think your next selection is at Galway once again.
Yeah, I think to paraphrase Johnny there, Sam Hard, you're an idiot. You haven't a clue. I don't know what you're tipping this horse for. She's got to have fired. Don't bother backing it. Get your money back. Cash out if you backed it already. That's just to paraphrase what Johnny
did. Yeah, right.
My number four is Too Bossy For Us in the 6:40 at Galway on Monday. So my first one of the week, Connacht Hotel Handicap. Very prestigious race. It was formerly known as the GPT. Big, big race for amateurs, like the Amateur Grand National, basically, in Ireland. And I'm really keen on Too Bossy For Us. Look, Too Bossy For Us was sent off favour for this race last year. Patrick Mullins rode him. He was sent off 7-2 from stall 20, which is a nightmare, obviously. And Patrick basically took his medicine early, held him up way out the back, hoping that there was going to be a scorching early pace and he'd come through late, but he just got caught really wide. He basically rode him. He was running the race last year off a mark of 92. And he basically rode him as though he had a stone in hand. Look, I am on the best horse in the race. I can do what I want. I can go wide. I can hold him up. Doesn't matter. I'm on the best horse in the race. And you just can't do that around Galway. Since then, like, he's finished sixth in the Supreme at Cheltenham. He's only beaten 11 lengths by Old Park Start. Like, what a cracking run that was. He would have a chance if he ran the Galway hurdle as well later on in the week, but I just don't know if he jumps well enough. I liked his run last time at the Curra behind Reverend Hubert. It was a rusty type, ring rusty type of run, just looked to be coming there and then just got really tired in the last 50 yards, was beaten 5 lengths. He's down to a mark of 87. If Too Bossy For Us is only good enough to be rated 87, I'll throw me hat at it, because he's so much more talent than that. Straight 138 over hurdles. Slightly better draw this time. Actually, a much better draw this time in stall 12. Jodie Townend won the race a few years ago with Great White Shark. She rides Galway well. And I'm surprised Patrick Mullins isn't riding, but it's not necessarily a huge negative, because the second amateur jockey in the yard is Jodie Townend. So I'm hoping it can, punters who had their fingers burnt with Too Bossy For Us last year, can be fixed this time. So Too Bossy For Us is my number four in the 6:40 at Galway on Thursday, on Monday even.
Monday, there you go. Yeah, 5-1. Currently the prices are out with Uni, but 5-1 Too Bossy For Us. And number four, I'm actually going to go in a race which can, well, you can have plenty of traffic problems in this one. The Golden Mile on Friday at Goodwood, the 3 o'clock. Obviously, I'm going to rely on the draw treating me well here, but Tribal Chief at 10-1 with Unibet, I think, is a really, really good bet. Horse who's ready to crop up at a big price in some of these big handicaps this season. He was third in the Lincoln, he was third in the Victoria Cup, well backed at Sandown, broke really slowly that day and actually finished fairly well. Been sitting on this mark of 93 for quite a while. I think it's more than fair. I know Connections are a huge fan. Actually won a Class 3 handicap here on Goodwood's Bank Holiday meeting in August really, really well. So we know he handles the track. I think if I can get the draw with Tribal Chief, he's going to run a mighty race on the South Downs in the Golden Mile, which is obviously a very tricky race to try and find the winner of on the day, let alone a few days out. Ed Nicholson, your number four, please.
Yeah, number four, I'm going for Dash of Azure in the Oak Tree Stakes, Group 3 race on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Now, on ratings, she's in there with a mix. I mean, she's not too far behind on official ratings. There are plenty of decent horses taking her on. But I like the way she's run the last two races, both at Chester. And the reason being, there was not that much pace on both occasions in listed contests. Both were listed. And the first one, Eddie Greatrex had to hold on to her. She pulled. She has a habit of pulling. She always has done. I'm just hoping that there are plenty of runners here so she doesn't, you know, she can go through the race a bit better. At the moment, there are 22 declared. Entered. So hopefully there'll be a few that stand their ground, which I think will help this this mare, because she'll be able to go through the race a bit better if they go a bit quicker early on. And if you do get a chance to go on the Racing Post website and have a look at the two runs at Chester, both times she's pulled, and from my experience, horses that pull like that don't stay on, and she stayed on both times. She's almost beat Belle Archie, who is also entered here, on the first Chester run, just not getting up. And second, had to go wide on the outside. And Eddie Greatrex, just once again, unfortunate. I think the early exertions came to pay her chances later on, and she got beaten once again with a photo finish. So I think on form, on what she's shown, she's not far away. I think she can improve with a better class race and a faster run race. I think Goodwood was suited in that regard. and speedy track. So I'm hoping Dash Vizier will put Seconitis behind her and win a Group 3 on the Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, yeah, Dash Vizier in the Oak Tree Stakes, that is on the Wednesday. And myself and Johnny Pearson very much disagree with you, Ed, because I'm actually going next with my number 3, and I think that the favourite, Hasselet, is going to win this for Team Godolphin. I was there in Deauville when she won the last day. I was actually with Mr. Rodway in Deauville, and we were certain that we'd seen a potential Group 1 horse in Hasselet. Came back into the office the following Tuesday, and the man on your screens, Mr. Pearson, was also very impressed, and the race we had in our mind was potentially whether she was good enough to run the City of York, but instead, the horse is going to come here. This is a much easier race than that, obviously, and despite being beaten on her second start, which was actually at Goodwood, that was over the straight six, which just didn't suit this horse, ran on really well, and the winner of that has actually gone to win in Ireland in Nace over the past 7 days, who was Soul Love, posting an RPR of 109 in Deauville. I think this horse is rapidly improving, couldn't be more excited by Hasselet, and I think we're going to see a very, very good performance in the Oak Tree Stakes. I'm going to have to save yours, Johnny, because I know yours is higher up the list. David Jennings, I'll come to you now for your number 3, which is at Goodwood.
Yeah, I'm taking Ed on. So I am with, he was tipping Glamorous Breeze. Made a good case, I have to say, for Glamorous Breeze in that sprint on the opening day at Goodwood. I really like Lexington Bliss. I think this horse is rapid. I think if the rain didn't arrive before the dash, he would have won it and won it well. That was off America 97. He's only gone up to 98. He's one of these sprinters. Every so often, these sprinters come along like a kind of a JM Jungle type character who has been running handicaps for ages, and all of a sudden, bang, they find this improvement and turn into proper Group A sprinters. And I think Lexington Blitz can do that, because I don't think the jump from handicap sprinting to Group 2, Group 1 sprinting is actually that big. Like it's kind of the easiest discipline to make the jump from handicap, and I think to group racing. And he is just so fast, and he's getting faster with age. I love the way he's being campaigned. He won at Goodwood. It was actually during Punchestown he won at Goodwood, and he absolutely bolted up that day off 88. And afterwards, I actually said to somebody sitting beside me, I said, I hope he goes for the dash at Epsom, and he did. He traded really short and running, showed loads of mid-race pace, and then was just ran out of a close home. But I like the fact that they didn't go straight away afterwards, that Robert Cowell has obviously said to himself, he's won at Goodwood, he likes Goodwood, he's fast. Let's keep him for a handicap at Glorious Goodwood. That's what they've done. There's so many opportunities for these sprint handicappers. A horse like Lexington Blintz could basically run every day of the week because there's so many opportunities for sprinters rated 98. They've kept him for this. Ed was saying about Glamorous Breeze being in front of Furlong Out all the time. If he's in front of Lexington Bliss at Furlong Out, I'll be like, whoa, because I think Lexington Bliss is absolutely rapid. And off America 98, if I think he's a Group Race sprinter, he'd want to be winning this off 98.
Okay, Lexington Blitz then, that's in the 4:10 on the Tuesday, 8-1 currently with Unibet is Lexington Blitz, and yeah, he's a real speedball. Johnny Pearson, now the race that you're next tipping is going to be an absolute belter, Godolphin versus Ballydoyle, and it's going to be in the Vintage Stakes.
And don't forget, we've got an Ammo horse in there as well. You can't forget those big players these days. But yeah, I'm tipping the horse who I think is the best two-year-old colt in the UK and Ireland, and that is Al Hodiba for Charlie Appleby. He only won a short out at Newmarket last time, beating Abraham Lincoln, who beat Aidan O'Brien's horse, Half Moon's, running in this race. But he did so much wrong that day. He was so green. I genuinely think he probably could have won by, if things actually went well, I think he would have beaten Abraham Lincoln by a couple of lengths that day. I think he was that much better than him, given everything went wrong. Charlie Appleby's won this with Pinatubo and Amori Sissi in the last 10 years. He knows how to win the race. He knows the right horse for the race. 7 furlongs is the right trip at the minute for the horse. And he got loads of speed, loads of talent. If he puts it all together, he really should be winning this.
Okay. Yeah, favourite Al Hodiba. Yeah, it's going to be a great race there. But I think I might be in agreement with you, Johnny. I was going to have a look at Cut a Dash, whether he got declared, but he didn't. But yeah, Al Hodiba around 5-4 currently with Unibet in the Vintage Stakes. Ed, your number 3 comes on the Wednesday.
Yeah, it comes roughly half an hour after my number 4, Dash of Azure. It's going to be in the Malcolm, the flying 5 furlongs for 2-year-olds. And it's a flying 2-year-old I've gone for. luckily. And it's Adonius, who is 3 from 3, having won a couple at Musselburgh and then putting in a very good performance to win the Lily Agnes at Chester. I think everyone would agree that that's an above average Lily Agnes. And Adonius the Gelding was gelded before he even had his first run as a 2 year old, won by a length, over a length. And that was good performance. The horse he beat, Hickory Lad, has won the Woodcote since and finished 3rd in the Group 2 July stakes at Newmarket, albeit there are only 3 runners, but he didn't lose by too far. And Adonius has been off the track for some time. I think there's been a problem. They wanted to go to Royal Ascot. They wanted to go to the National Stakes originally, but they haven't. And Rebecca Menzies now hopefully has Adonius ready for Goodwood. Obviously, we don't know at present whether it's going to be declared, but it is entered. And Rebecca Menzies is, I think it's fair to say, not well known for flying 2-year-olds, but she's got one of the best 2-year-olds in the UK at the moment for sprinting. Everything about this horse's breeding smacks sprinting, only bought for 32,000, which is relatively cheap, and has already paid back that in spades. And I think we'll take this Group 3. He was just so quick, from albeit a good stall draw at Chester, that blitzed them away. And as we all know, Goodwood, with that downhill 5 furlong track that Batash made his own, obviously suits a smash and grab merchant. And I think Adonius is that type of horse. He'll get out, he'll go to the front, strong 2-year-old, and I don't think he'll see another horse. So, yeah, I'll go for Adonius. I must give a mention also to Flight Signal, who I'm still going to give a chance to one day, maybe here each way at 20-25 to 1, put in a really good time figure first time out. I don't think that Royal Ascot run was his performance. So Flight Signal, big odds maybe each way. But yeah, I think Adonius ran about 5 to 1. I think I'm fair to say this horse would be shorter if it was trained by one of the better well-known established 2-year-old handlers. But 5-6 to 1 under Rebecca Menzies, I think, has got a fantastic chance.
Okay. Yeah, 5 to 1 Adonius. That's on Wednesday, 3:35 for Ed is his number 3. And Ed, I'll quickly throw back to you then for your next best, which a few people have said is one of their bangers I've been speaking to of the week, and was 2nd in the race last year.
Yeah, Lake Forest is my 2nd best. The next stakes, Tuesday, 3 o'clock. Interestingly, and I don't know whether this has been mentioned to anyone, but I bumped into joint owner Ian McAleady yesterday, and he told me that they're going to run both in the Lennox Stakes and the Sussex Stakes. He's declared in both. One's on the Tuesday, and one's on the Thursday. But this horse obviously ran at a 6 furlong Group 1 last time, the Diamond Jubilee, running on eye-catchingly to finish 5th behind stable companion Almirac. That was a great run for 6 furlongs. That was his first run at 6 furlongs for over 2 years. I think he's a 7 furlong horse. But it's interesting they were saying that the aim is to run in both this race and the Sussex Stakes. I think he's obviously got a much better chance in this race. I'm happy that it's this way around, that he's running in this race first, because Lake Forest has got some really good form at 7 furlongs. I kind of expect him to go off favourite, maybe short price favourite as well, and win here on a course that should suit him. He's top rated in the race, so yeah, I think it's one of the better bets of the week.
Okay, yeah, Lake Forest, he was very, very close to making my top 5. He was actually in 6, but after what Johnny said to me about Astora, I suppose I probably should have shuffled him up one. Johnny, we haven't had Galway for a while, so I'm going to send it straight back to Galway and go for your next best.
Yeah, and I'm going to apologise about the short price that you're going to get on this one. But currently, I believe, the odds against her, which I think is quite remarkable. And also is a filly in the 7:15 on Monday evening. So you haven't got to wait long for this one. It's Dancing Saxon for Joseph O'Brien. You mentioned Soul Love from the Goodwood race that Hassler was in. Dancing Saxon finished behind Soul Love, 2nd behind on Wednesday, I think, was it? Nice. It was a really good run. She's running off 80 that day. She's running off 80 again on Monday. She's going up to a mark of 96 come Tuesday, I guess. She's over a stone. She's running over a stone better than what she's going to be rated in a week's time. She should be winning this. She should be 2 to 1 on for the race. It's a short price, but odds against, you've got to just take that. She should really be winning this by some distance.
Okay. Yeah. Odds against 11 to 10. A winner's a winner, Johnny. Dancing Saxon in the 7:15 at Galway for you then. I'll quickly give my next best, which comes in the Chesterfield Cup, which is the race that kicks off the meeting in the 150 on Tuesday. 7-1 selection in Noble Horizon. This one's been sitting in the tracker for quite a while. And actually, before the horse actually joined Ollie Ricks, was in the tracker. But has an RPR of 117. And based off the last run, you can see why. Bolted up at Leicester. Sylvester Souza on board. And I can't think of too many jockeys I'd potentially rather have dictating the pace at Goodwood from the front than Sylvester, if that's the way they go. And I'd be shocked if they didn't ride this horse really prominently. You can ignore the first run after being off a long break. And the breeding suggests this horse is going to be very, very good. By Kingman, who obviously won the Sussex Stakes out of a Galileo mare. Everything points to this horse being really effective around Goodwood. I think he's incredibly well handicapped, and I believe he's going to get my week off to a flyer. 7-1, I think, is more than fair. I think he's going to be much, much better than his current mark. That's Noble Horizon in the Chesterfield Cup, the opening race on the Tuesday. David Jennings, you're to give your next bet before everyone gives their best bet.
Oh, this is controversial, Sam. This is very controversial. This is not going to go down well. My second best bet of Galway or Goodwood is Gustad in the Sussex Stakes.
Oh, I am.
Okay. I just have a theory, and it mightn't even work out that my theory will even come into play, but I think Goodwood is absolutely made for Gustad as a track for this reason. Okay. So I don't think what happened at Ascot was supposed to happen with Gustad. I think they were planning on being a bit more forward. They ended up back where they were. Obviously, they got the Golden Highway up the rail. We all know about that, okay? But I don't think Gustad, for all that he's a Coventry Stakes winner and he's got loads of form over six, I don't think he's an instant accelerator. I don't think he's a horse that just instantly picks up and gone, away you go. I don't think he is. I think in all his races, if you go back through all his races, he actually does hit the line quite hard, and it was the same against Bo Echo last time. So my theory is, if he's in front of Bo Echo two out instead of chasing Bo Echo, I don't think Bo Echo is going to get by him. I think the race tactically could be set up. Obviously, there's going to be pace in the race. Opera Ballo's in there. There'll be a Ballydoyle pacemaker. I just think tactically it's going to be set up perfectly for Gustad, who will sit just off Opera Ballo. And I think a bit like the Irish 2000 Guineas, where Ryan said, okay, 2.5 out, I'm gone, passing the three pole into the 2.5, and he goes, and it's a gradual kind of acceleration. It's not instant, but he can sustain that pace. And I think if Ryan can get ahead of Billy and he has got a length or gets first run in him, I just think he's going to be a hard horse to pass. It's more tactically that I think the race is going to suit him, and I think the track is going to suit him, because if you do get to the front two out at Goodwood and you're big, strong, powerful colt like Gustad, I think he's going to be hard to pass. Bo Echo, to me, travelled beautifully through the St. James's Palace Stakes. We all thought he was going to potentially win by two or three lengths. And then all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh. And it was astonishing to me. It was the first time I saw Bo Echo in the flesh was at Royal Ascot. And obviously, some of the best horses we've ever seen haven't been that big on the flat. But it was just like, if you put Gustad behind Bo Echo, it's like chalk and cheese. Like, it's astonishing. So the people far more clever than me reckon maybe we may have seen the best of Bo Echo. And maybe we haven't. I don't know. And hopefully we haven't. And hopefully he is going to remain unbeaten and be this absolute superstar colt. But I have my doubts. And definitely in the market, there's far too much in the market between Bo Echo and Gustad here. Gustad has been, like Bo Echo, has been trained for this race to the minute by Aidan O'Brien since that. It's always just been about Gustad for the Sussex. He's taken on Bo Echo again. And I think if he's in front of him two out, I don't think Bo Echo is going to get by him. So my second best bet, controversially, is Gustad.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting with Gustad, because I've been talking to many, many people about the Sussex Stakes, and you're either with Bo Echo you're going to be with the old horses and you'll be with Opera Ballo, but no one's really mentioned Gustad, who's obviously finished second behind Bo Echo on two occasions already this season. But completely get the case, DJ. I actually want to see this horse around a bend in America later on in the year. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm quite excited by Gustad when he hits the track in America. But I can completely see the case of this horse hitting the front and well, being tough to pass. We'll have to wait and see, but it's an absolute belter of a Sussex Stakes this
year. They're priced up, Sam. They're basically priced up at the moment on their new market form. They're priced up as though nothing happened at Ascot. Yeah. And I just can't see that gap in the market. I think it's going to get smaller as the race comes forward. And the reports from Ballydoyle seem to be pretty positive about Gustav as well. So fingers crossed.
Okay, as much as I want to kind of move on to the best bet, can I just ask you one more question then, DJ? Do you think that Boeco and Sharp will finish ahead of Opera Ballo and the three-year-old form will be better? Or do you give Opera Ballo a right chance against them?
Yeah, I think Opera Ballo is a nice miler. I think he's nice. I think he's grand. I think he's very good. I would be surprised if Opera Ballo finished in front of both of them. He might just finish ahead of one of them because it's not necessarily guaranteed that Gestad and Boeco will finish first and second. But I just, at the prices, I'd far prefer to back Gestad at the price he is than Opera Ballo.
Okay. Let's get some engagement in the comments then. Do let us know who you like for the Sussex Stakes. Like I say, there's three main key contenders. It'd be interesting to hear what the viewers and listeners think of this year's Sussex Stakes. Right, we're going to have a quick break and then we're going to get our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Top five bets for Goodwood and Galway, Sam Hart, David Jennings, Johnny Pearson and UniBet's Ed Nicholson. Now giving our best bets for the week. This is the key one then, gentlemen. Who do we think is the banker of the week? And I will come to you first, Ed Nicholson, for your best bet.
Well, it's a short price, but I think she'll win. Diamond Necklace, the Nassau Stakes, Thursday, 3:35. First time we would have seen her in the UK, but that doesn't mean she's not travelled from Ireland, as we all know, having won the French Oaks and the Marcel Boussac, unbeaten. Looks a cut above the horses that will be running here. Minnie Hawk is entered, but she won't run. And Diamond Necklace looks the most likely winner of the whole week for me. Won't make you massively rich, probably 4-6, 4-7 at the moment. But I think she's the number one selection for the week.
Yeah, really excited to see Diamond Necklace. I genuinely am. It's the first time I've seen her in the flesh, but I think she's a bit of a superstar and I think she'll take all the beating in the Nassau Stakes as well. I'll give my number one as well then because mine's short enough and odds on. But in the Thoroughbred Stakes, the 2:25 on Friday, Talker New York. He's 5-4 on currently, but you couldn't have been more impressed by his win at Sandown before Royal Ascot. He obviously came into that St. James's Palace Stakes and was kind of the one that we were a bit unknown about against Boeco and Stard, and a few of the Shrewdies did fancy Talk of New York. He ran a massive race into third, was actually well clear of the fourth in that race there. I think if he ran in the Sussex, actually, he'd run a mighty race. I think he'd be up there right with the, you know, the main contenders in that. Obviously, they've put Opera Ballo in there, the older horse, but I'd expect him to be in the first three if he ran the Sussex, but he's dropped into this group three contest that's been won by some really good horses in the past. Bar Hankalo, who's in this race, who is obviously behind, well behind Constitution River in the French Derby, he's half a stone better than this field. He might be short. I think he's going to take all of the beating. I think he'll actually go off a lot shorter on the day once the final decks come in, because Godolphin have got quite a few in there. William Buick's currently jocked up, but Talk of New York, Thoroughbred Stakes, 5-4 on. I think that's the banker of the week. David Jennings, your best bet for Goodwood and Galway, please.
Oh, I am going to Thursday at 2:25, the American Richmond Stakes, Group 2, and I am siding with Knight in Vegas for Eve Johnson-Houghton and Charles Bishop. Look, Flansoon is favourite at the moment and was visually very impressive at Ascot last time. But beat a horse called Mysterious Times, who I think is an absolute fake. Cost a fortune, real kind of sexy type of horse, travels really well, should have won at Newmarket time before. I think he's a bit of a fake, and I think Flansoon is priced up on that performance, and I just don't know if there was as much substance to his. I know he got a Racing Pulse rating of 97, thought that was a little bit generous. Knight in Vegas to me is just a really smashing two-year-old. Just nothing, you know, too flashy about him. Didn't cost a fortune, not bred to be anything special, but was I thought very impressive first time out at Ascot, then won really snugly at Goodwood. That track form over course and distance, I think at a track like Goodwood is huge. I thought he ran a belter in the Coventry. Like, he was fifth to Great Barrier Reef. He was only beaten, I think, a length and a half. There was a bit of a blanket finish. And for a horse like him, who's not this big, strapping, imposing individual, Charles Bishop had to go through a gap. And it was quite a tight gap. And he did get through it, so there was no excuses. But just for a horse like him, it took a lot out of him to get through the gap, kind of just furlong and a half out. And I just thought it knocked the stuffing out of him a little bit. I think that experience would bring him on loads. I love the fact that he didn't go to Newmarket for potentially the superlative or something there. Eve has kept him back for this because he's won at the track. I think it's real good training by Eve. And I go through the race. If you take Flansoon out of it, you've got a day of Scarlet, who has been exposed for all that he's a cracking horse today in Scarlet. Not sure if a man's best friend is going to run, given that he only won the other day. Ruler's Control for Joseph, I think, is probably beatable. Hickory Lad, we know his limitations. Cut a Dash is in there for Richard Hammond as well. I'd be disappointed if Knight in Vegas couldn't beat him. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of this juvenile. I think he's a smashing horse. And I'm hoping he can win the Richmond Stakes at 2:25 on Thursday. So my best bet of Galway Goodwood is Knight in Vegas.
Okay, Knight in Vegas in the Richmond Stakes. 3-1 with Unibet currently in the Kenny Valley Syndicates. They love having runners at Goodwood. Obviously, like DJ's mentioned, he's already won at the track this year. Johnny Pearson, you're the last one to give a best bet. So who is he going to be?
Yeah, and Sam, you have already mentioned Philly and his Hasselak in the Oak Tree Stakes, the 3 o'clock on Wednesday at Goodwood. She looked really impressive when winning at Newmarket over 7 furlongs. And then she went back and down to 6 at Goodwood in May. She came third behind Soul Love. She actually sort of a bit green and finished off, I'd say, actually thought the best of all the runners in the race. And she's then gone back up to 7 furlongs at Deauville last time out. So it's an absolute superstar that day. It was a listed race in France, and the depth in behind her wasn't as strong as other races you might see. But I can't remember the last time I've seen such an easy winner of a listed race. She looks a Group 1 performer all over. And if she's not good enough to win here, I'd be very surprised. I think she isn't. I think she's a really, really good filly, and I think she'll be winning Group 1 by the end of the year.
Okay, yeah, we've started the show with you absolutely slating me for a selection, and we've shaken hands right at the end there and agreed with Hasselay in the Oak Tree Stakes. I genuinely think I was tempted to bring up a little bit higher, but I think she's the right bet in the Oak Tree Stakes. In fact, 3-1 is very generous with Unibet. Right, let's do the quick rundowns then of our selections, the quick 5-1, and I'll kick things off, show you how it's all done. I'll be with Asfura at number 5 in the King George Qatar Stakes, 3:35 on Friday, as much as Johnny has given her no chance. Number 4, Tribal Chief, Golden Mile, 3 o'clock on Friday at Goodwood. Number 3 is going to be Hasselay in the Oak Tree Stakes, the Wednesday at Goodwood, currently 3-1. Number 2, Noble Horizon in the Chesterfield Cup, 1:50 on the Tuesday, 7-1. And my number 1 best bet will be Talk of New York in the Thoroughbred Stakes, 2:25 on the Friday at 5-4 on. I don't think he will be beaten on the Friday. Right, over to you, Ed Nixon, your 5-1, please.
Yeah, number 5. Glamorous Breeze. I think Lexington Blitz will set it up nicely for the 8-year-old mare. Come and take him inside the final furlong and win at a big price for Chris Mason. Number 4 is Dash of Azure, another double-figure price horse in the Oak Tree Stakes, taking on your selections. But I think a fast run 7 furlong contest at Goodwood will suit this horse, who tends to pull in small runner races. 3 is Adonius, who is unbeaten, a gelding 2-year-old who is all about speed. Every relation is about speed in the breeding. And I think Adonius will win a Group 3 for Rebecca Menzies, the Malcolm, Wednesday 3:35. Number 2 is Lake Forest, to go one better than last year, second in the Lennox in 2025. Ran a really good race over 6 furlongs last time out in a Group 1 race. This is more to his liking. 7 furlongs at Goodwood, I think, he'll take a lot of beating. And finally, the best bet of the week, the horse I'm thinking most likely to win, the price is prohibitive, but number 1, Diamond Necklace in the Nassau Stakes, Thursday 3:35, just wins.
Okay, yep, Diamond Necklace in the Nassau Stakes, the number 1 Fred Nixon, but there are his top 5 selections. David Jennings, your 5-2-1, please.
Yeah, number five, put your hands together in the Guinness Galway Hurdle, 4:30 at Galway on Thursday. Too bossy for us. I'm hoping to kick off with a bang in the 6:40, the Connacht Hotel Handicap on Monday. Then we're into the Speedball himself, the Rapid Lexington Blitz in the 4:10 at Goodwood on Tuesday. The controversial one is at number two. That's Gestad in the Sussex Stakes at 4:10 at Goodwood on Wednesday to get his revenge on Bo Echo. And my number one, I'm saving it till Thursday, the Richmond Stakes at 2:25, the Turley Likeable Night in Vegas.
Okay, there's David Jennings, 5-1 then. Yeah, Night in Vegas in that Richmond Stakes, the number one selection for him. And Johnny Pearson, you're the last to give us the 5-1.
Yeah, we're going to start off on Thursday in 3:55 at Galway, and it's going to be Midnight Jet for Henry de Bromhead to hopefully land a winner in an upper saddle there, which with the horse that's definitely progressive and there's more to come. Number four is going to be Knight Raider in the King George Cattle Stakes over 5 furlongs on the wrong side of Ascot. It's only glit this season, should be better than the rest of them here. Third best day is going to be Al Hodoba, who I believe currently, and what we've seen so far, is the best two-year-old colt in Britain and Ireland, and it's going to take all the beating there. In second, it's a sure price, but Dancing Saxon has over a stone in hand with what he's running off here, and she should really be winning this. She's also a sister to Dancing Gemini, obviously a good horse for Roger Till. And the best bet is going to be Hassler in the Oak Tree Stakes on Wednesday at 3 o'clock at Goodwood.
Okay, that's Johnny Pearson's top five selections for the next 7 days of action. Really looking forward to this, gentlemen. Goodwood and Galway all kicks off on Monday, running all the way through to Sunday, racing on our screens 24/7 almost. So really excited for that. And that's it for this week's show. Do let us know your best bets for the 7 days at the festivals, and we'll be engaging with as many of them as we can in the comments. Big thanks to Johnny Pearson, David Jennings, and as always, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Ensure to check out their website and app for all the offers across the week and all the terms and conditions that you can find there. Do like, comment, share, and subscribe. We won't be back next Thursday for a podcast. We'll be skipping a week with Goodwood and Galway, and we'll be back the following weekend to preview that Saturday's action. But best of luck with any of your bets, and we'll see you again very soon.